Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Viewing the news of the day through the only reliable lens, the Word of God. Good morning, Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We are so glad you took the time to join us for this hour this morning. We have a very sobering topic we're going to cover in our second and third segments. And as we approach it, because it's a very, very serious issue, let us remember we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of confidence. We can confidently and boldly go before the throne of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we just want you to keep that as an anchor in your heart as we cover some very, very tough news stories this morning after David opens us in prayer.
Lord God, give us that eternal perspective that we need to get through these times. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, and you promise, and I thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is a fulfilled promise for believers in Christ, that you will guide us into all truth through that Spirit within us. And we also thank you for the truth that you shared, that what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, forfeits himself. And God, let us not be ashamed of you and your words. And you promise that you will not be ashamed of us. And we thank you, God, for the privilege and honor of being ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. We pray that you use us in our words, and you would prepare the hearts of people that need to hear the truth, that need to be encouraged, but also that need to be challenged to come back to the truth. And we thank you, Jesus, for these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, David. Our topic today, how serious is the North Korean threat? Last weekend, North Korea successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. Now, already possessing nukes and threatening to use them against the United States, the fact they now have hydrogen bombs raises the stakes dramatically for two reasons. First, hydrogen bombs are far more powerful than simple nuclear weapons. And second, a hydrogen bomb is much more plausible for what might be a worst nightmare for our nation. Some suggest an electronic magnetic pulse bomb, an EMP, could wipe out every computer and electronic capability of our nation for up to a full year. Now, if that happens, government experts predict the casualty rate could be as high as 90% in our nation over the first 6 months, and it would practically eliminate America as a world power. Well, in our second and third segments today, we look at just how serious we should be viewing this threat. But in our first segment today, we check in with our good friend, Tina Marie Griffin, counterculture mom, as we discuss dangers in media for our children and practical alternatives for parents, and also a big event coming up in a few weeks for women. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Hi, welcome, and thank you so much. I'm definitely tuning into your second session. I will just tell you, I read several books on the subject, and there, I cannot remember the name of it. I just texted my husband. It was so good, and it talked about if we have an EMP blast here in our nation, and it hit, like, Missouri where we live. That's why I was very interested in it. What you just said, anything with electronic device, a chip in it, which is basically everything we live with and work with and drive in every day, will be wiped out.
Yeah, it could be pretty amazing. So as we always ask the Lord for eternal perspective, that's what we need to maintain and not panic and understand who is sovereign and in control. Tina, before we get into some questions that we had planned for you this week, something I've been wanting to ask you about for a month, I think, that is CD smashing parties. Tell me about this. Who came up with it, and how can more people, do this? Because of course, a lot of us have old CDs that we don't listen to anymore, and many of us shouldn't listen to anymore.
That's really funny. If you see my face right now, I'm grinning from ear to ear. It's so funny. I loved, and I still love, when I get emails from teens, tweens, parents, you name it, saying, guess what we did over the weekend? And it's a CD smashing party. I actually have pictures in my photo album on my Counterculture Mom page if anyone wants to have fun with their kids and check out previous parties that have been sent to me. It's just been amazing. And I have two quick stories to share on that. The thing that I went through a process when I was in L.A. and I became a Christian when I was 16, went out to Los Angeles, did film and TV for a decade. I was like 20, 21 years old, and I was in a church service. My pastor convicted me. I love going to church services where you leave thinking, man, that message is for me. I got to do something now to change that area. And his message one Sunday was, don't listen to, don't be involved with anything that's not going to have you get a closer relationship with the Lord. Well, to me, it went to my music right away. And I'm like, well, Lord, I don't listen to a lot of that music anymore. I just hate the fact that I'd have to throw out all these CDs that I've collected over my teen years. They're like $10 a piece. So long story short, I was talking and wheeling and dealing with God in my apartment in Los Angeles. And I'm like, that's it, Lord. I want to use this money that when I sell these CDs at this local trade-in store, I'm going to get great music, or I'm going to use the money to get myself over to Africa on a mission trip, because I was raising funds for that. And God convicted me and said, okay, so you might get $2 a CD, but you've now redistributed this garbage into the culture where other kids are now listening to it. So to get to your question, I just want to encourage people. A CD smashing party started, and I started talking about it because I did it myself when I was in my early 20s in my LA apartment. I broke apart like 43 CDs that day. Anywhere from Michael Jackson to White Snake. I mean, you name it. Bits and pieces flying around all over. My roommate's like, what in the world are you doing? So I explained to her what God was telling me to do, convicted me of it. Took some pictures, and I still have those pictures today because that was a turning point. I even ripped my Elvis poster off my bedroom wall that day. Turning point. Because I'm like, he died of a drug overdose on a toilet. It's time to take this stuff down. Where I knew that I needed to just say and do what I believed. And even if I didn't listen to it anymore, I just wanted to broke it apart. So from there, it went to sharing my story and how God opened my eyes and broke apart those CDs and sharing the pictures of my CD smashing party, where it kind of caught on with different events over the years of teens and middle school students. One San Diego school, I spoke there 5 days in a row. A bunch of kids got together, a couple hundred, and they smashed apart a bunch of CDs and sent me pictures. And then it went into video game smashing parties where they're like, no more, let's get them out of the house, get a sledgehammer, and bust them apart. So that's hilarious. I haven't been asked that question in a while. Thank you for the fun memory down memory lane here.
Well, we like making you feel old like we are, Tina, so we wanted to bring that up. So.
Okay.
Hey, Tina, you just spoke at an event called Kingdom Bound. How did that go?
Kingdom Bound was fantastic. I just posted photos yesterday. There was an amazing newscaster journalist there that happened to capture my session. One of my sessions at Kingdom Bound sent me some amazing pictures, and I was grateful to Harry Skull for doing that. And it just, so people want to go online and see some of the slides of what I present there at Counterculture Mom Facebook group. Just jump on the group, join us, and click on notifications at the top so you can get my posts. But it was a great time to meet amazing parents and teens that care. They wanted to be there. No one was forcing them to go to Kingdom Bound. It was packed. I had a lot of people show up for the session. The session went smooth. So thank you for your prayers ahead of time. I got done speaking once again, and God just confirmed this is exactly what you should be doing with your time, energy, talents, and time. Like, just get out there and do what you're doing. So it was encouraging. I saw life change. I had great conversations with teens that said, no more will I listen to this music. No longer will I play this video game. And then some that said, never tapped into what you were talking about, but your encouragement and your information has now helped me be a counterculture warrior myself. I'm going to be sharing your content on my social media pages, which is what I want. So it was great.
Awesome. Well, Tina, the next thing we wanted to ask you about, big event coming up in a couple weeks. It's called Moms March for America. We're excited for you about the event because you're going to be speaking there. It's in Omaha, Nebraska, September 23rd, along with people like Sarah Palin, Sam Sorbo, Candy Carson, Ben Carson's wife, Duck Dynasty's Missy Robertson, and others. Tell us about how you got involved with this and a little more detail.
That was totally God. I was supposed to be no technology with me on this camping trip, but I had to just check in for 5 minutes. And my husband said, you got to check out this flyer I just saw. One of my friends, the activist mommy, she delivers content a little bit different than myself, but she's still on fire warrior for the Lord. She had this flyer she made up where she was speaking with a couple speakers, and I'm like, man, this event just sounds like my message would fit. And, of course, doubt entered in within seconds, thinking it's too late. The event is in a month. There's no way they have another speaker slot open. But I usually am the person where, hey, it doesn't hurt to try. So I shot over an email from my camper where we shouldn't have had Internet access, but that was a God thing that we even got through. 5 minutes later, got an email from the head person, Kimberly Fletcher, who started this event, and she's such an amazing God-fearing woman. She's just on fire for the Lord. And she said, call me Monday. We have to talk. We have one speaker slot open. I really believe you're it.
Wow.
She went to my website within 5 minutes, and some of the same words on my website were the same phrases, you guys, that was on her website. So I knew it was a total connection from God that I even saw that flyer. And we talked on Monday, had a great conversation. She said, you're on board. If you want it, you've got it. I said, I'm coming. So I'm speaking with some amazing women that I know that I will be inspired going to, but we basically, she actually invited me to speak on the 22nd as well. So I'll be speaking on that Friday before to a bunch of women and their daughters about pop culture, media tips, how to stay safe on the internet, how to be a warrior for the Lord using social media. And then the very next day I have 5 to 8 minutes. That's it, because there's 20 of us women speaking.
Wow.
And I'm very pumped up for it. God's given me clarity on what to share. And it'll be a wake-up, shake-up, and how do we get active in our culture to create change in our culture. It is a Christian version of the chaos that happened on a so-called Women's March earlier this year, which was nowhere a representation of how American women feel today in our country.
Amen.
Now, this isn't your typical march. We're not expecting to see 20, 30,000 women marching and screaming and carrying signs, right?
No, we won't. We're gonna definitely see some fire and brimstone in a very God-ordained way, where He will be directing our light, our words, our speech, our mission to get this country back on track, because we love the Lord, want this country to see grace, justice prevail, unity happen among different races. There's just too much division, and I think a lot of it has to do with the media portraying our country in a way that is not really representing what our country is really like.
Well, Tina, one thing I did, I went over to that Moms March store and just checked out some of the stuff. One of the best-selling items, I love it. It's a T-shirt that says, "It takes a mom to raise a village."
That's about it. And I think it really does. Moms need to speak up. And I think a lot of times we as women feel, what can we do? We're taking care of kids all day, making meals, vacuuming the floor, changing diapers. What can we give to society? Well, we can give a lot. And I've been speaking throughout my years while changing a diaper, a lot of times backstage with an infant, nursing them before going out and saying, hey, what's up? What's going on, high school? You know, and talking to the high school students. So we can do a lot. We know what's going on. We have a voice. And many of us moms don't know how to get our thoughts, feelings, and what we want to get out of our bodies here to the rest of the world to change it for the better. This Moms March is amazing, not only for people that if they can show up, that would be the best way to network with other moms, realize we're not alone, network and know how to go back to our communities to actually start using our voices in the communities and helping unify our local churches, our local schools for the Lord and His purpose and growing the kingdom. But it also gives us the opportunity as moms to have a voice through watching this event and then partaking in different ways that we're going to be suggesting to partake. So if a person can't make it to Omaha, Nebraska, Ralston Arena on September 23rd, if you go to momsmarchusa.com, you can get all that event detail. But you can also tune in live. It will be televised online, which is fantastic, because cool. Then we can all partake from no matter where we live in our country.
Excellent. Tina, we as parents feel overmatched sometimes in the arenas of social media and electronics, and you've done some great work for the Lord alerting parents to certain things out there. And there's a new app you wanted to talk about, and I want to spell it out. It's musical.ly. What do parents need to know about this app?
Yes, well, exactly. Musical.ly, Musical.ly, is an app that was created from China. They created this back in 2014. It gravitated quickly among the youth, the teen, tween market. It's according to the iTunes store for kids 13 on up, but there are so many kids younger than 13 using this app. It's a great app if used responsibly. But the problem is, over the last 2 years, is this, and what the app is, I'll explain that. The app is a way for kids to shoot music videos, edit them, put them through Instagram filters, and pump out a really funky 15-second is the allotted maximum time for these really cool videos. And they share them with their friends, and they network on social media and share their creation to, you know, be their own little Hollywood star. Well, if used properly, not a problem. Over the recent last couple of months, there's been more and more news stories where that's why I had to do a pop culture alert on that and ding parents' phones, which I'll explain about in a minute what I do there, to let them know that pedophiles are now wanting to become and pretending they're another 9-year-old, 12-year-old girl. And with friend requests, other young girls and boys, they would accept them as friends. Hey, you know, Johnny wants to jump on board. It's awesome. Here's our videos. Well, within seconds, parents are now realizing their kids are being propositioned by these pedophiles saying, hey, send us a picture of yourself. We want to know who you are. Okay, so they send it. Now do a shirtless one. I'm not kidding you, Mike. There was, within 3 seconds, an exchange between this pedophile and this girl, and I have this information on my Counterculture Mom Facebook group, where within 4 or 5 text messages, he was asking her to send a picture of herself nude to the guy.
Goodness.
And of course, praise the Lord, she talked to her dad. So that's a major issue. The other issue is kids using this app are also looking for other videos online that are cool and hip so they can kind of compete and show their stuff. But they're finding pornographic videos. So the best thing I can tell parents is to do this. Go in your settings of the Musical.ly app, and in your settings, you're going to see 3 safety features many parents don't check or don't know that they can mark off. One of them is only friends can directly meet, which means only friends can contact your child on this app. You definitely want to click that so it's green. There's also hide location info. Definitely want to click that so no one can find your child where they're actually physically located at every minute of the day.
Yes.
And then private account. Make it a private account. So those would be my top 3 tips. I alerted parents to my pop culture alert text and video last week, literally showing parents how they can set the features on their phone. And to get my pop culture alert text, all they have to do is text the word alert, A-L-E-R-T, to the number 444-999. It's $4.99 a month, and they get to get these amazing texts once a week to alert them on what to do to how to keep the kids safe.
So I just want to rephrase that, not rephrase that, just repeat that. Click on only friends, also hide location, and private. And these are important settings that all parents need to know about, because some kids will go looking for, you know, porn and other things. But as you said, other young children, they're stumbling upon this through some of these apps. So parents, absolutely, you know, you've mentioned this before, Tina, parents need to be involved in every aspect of the social media that their kids are on. But we want to jump real quick before we run out of time. There's a family-friendly movie, another rarity, not a lot of them, but this one's called A Question of Faith, coming out September 29. What can you tell us about this?
Oh, man, I get chills every time I see the trailer, and I've seen it several times. Why? Because I can't wait for this movie to come out. I don't like cheesy Christian films. I don't know of anyone who does. So whenever there's a really good one coming out, you want to make sure everybody sees it, including any unsafe friends. This one's already being called The Next War Room. A Question of Faith portrays basically 3 different families, all different ethnicities, brought together through a tragic accident regarding texting and driving. And it's very relevant for so many people that today text and drive. I watched the trailer. You can go watch it at aquestionoffaith.com. It's fantastic. It will give you chills. And like many people that have already previewed it, I'm actually getting a link today from a publicist, a future publicist of mine, actually. She's amazing. I met her at National Religious Broadcasting Conference this year. She is a publicist for this movie. She's working along with PureFlix, who is actually the creators of A Question of Faith. And she sent me a couple quotes from some people who have already viewed it. She's also sending me a link to view it this week, because I will be actually interviewing one of the head actresses of the film, Jackie Velasquez, who have I been promoting for a decade with her positive, great music. She's a platinum singer. Jackie Velasquez was in I'm Not Ashamed, platinum Christian recording artist. I'll be having her on Hollywood Insider, my live streaming show, next Tuesday. I can't wait. this one quote was great from Nathan Kistler, director of Hope to the Hill in Washington, D.C. He says, quote, every politician, faith leader, and American must see this powerful view into the grace and forgiveness that Jesus brings when we humble ourselves, a must-see for all, end quote. I can't wait for this movie because with today's media promoting racial issues and division and whites against blacks and you name it, let me tell you something. This movie covers racial reconciliation, forgiveness, the texting and driving issue, organ donation, faith, and brotherhood. I know that this film is going to change our nation. What we have to do as Christians is blast out the fact that this movie's coming out September 29th in over 600 theaters, and everybody has to get up and go promote this film and help invest in a project that can turn this nation around.
Well, Tina, thank you for bringing that up. And yes. Many times Christians in our nations will invoke, and our nation will invoke 2 Chronicles 7:14. A reminder, that verse starts off with, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And our nation needs to do that. We as Christians need to do that if we want any hope of reconciling these issues of race and economics and even immigration that we face. So, Tina, thank you so much. It is always a blessing. Again, we'll have connections to Tina here on our Stand Up for the Truth post today. Keep up the good work, sis, and stay cool in Missouri.
Thank you. Do I have like 15 more seconds?
You bet.
Yes.
Okay, text the word ALERT to 444-999. You'll get all the amazing, great goods. I also got an update for the book I was talking about earlier. It is fantastic. It is 1 second after, and it's about the electromagnetic pulse attack on the U.S. It's a great read to be able to help us with your next segment, but to help us be alert and aware of what we can do to help protect our families in that regard.
Well done. Thank you so much, Tina. God bless you.
Thanks, Tina.
You too.
When we come back, how serious is the North Korean threat?
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Okay, we want to use the Bible to put this next story into context. We know as we read the prophetic scriptures that the world is going to get more and more dangerous. It's going to hate Christ all the more. And we who represent him and call upon his name are going to be hated more and more. So the world is going to get worse and worse. Jesus said if he did not return on the appointed day, no flesh would be spared. So we live in a dying, decaying world because of sin, a world that is more hateful of Jesus than ever. We sit on the precipice, many think, of destroying ourselves with all the nuclear weapons. And this latest story from North Korea, and based on their threats of the U.S., is something we want to take a look at. But again, remember, we have not been given a spirit of fear as believers. We must not panic when we hear these things. But there is some information in here where we can perhaps economically and certainly spiritually prepare for what might happen.
Yeah, and I think, Mike, it's always good for us to you know, ask the question, what if?
Mm-hmm.
What would we do? And as Christians, we don't have to freak out about it, but let's do what we can to be informed. This article is by Keith Griffith for the Daily Mail, and it says, North Korea's latest nuclear weapons test has renewed fears of a devastating electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, attack that could wipe out electrical grids across the U.S. For the first time, North Korea specifically mentioned the possibility of an EMP attack on the U.S. following Sunday's test of a 100-kiloton weapon, which the regime claims is a thermonuclear bomb. The weapon could wipe out much of a city, but the pulse from a high-altitude blast could sow chaos and destruction far wider. North Korea's state news agency warned that the weapon is a multifunctional thermonuclear nuke with great destructive power, which can be detonated even at high altitudes for super powerful EMP attack.
And we want to pause there for a minute and kind of lay this out to you as best as we understand it. North Korea has had nuclear weapons for more than a decade because our previous presidents, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama, did nothing. They twiddled their thumbs. They talked a lot. They kept conceding to these madmen that run North Korea, who literally, folks, by the way, Kim Jong-un considers himself God. I mean, that is their religion in North Korea. Now, the difference between having a nuclear weapon and a hydrogen bomb is this. Hydrogen bombs are anywhere between 10 and 40 times more powerful than a standard nuclear weapon. And here's where this comes into play with a potential EMP attack. If you detonated a missile, a nuclear bomb 19 miles above the United States that had an EMP with it, you take out a couple of states electronically, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri. When you go up to 294 miles, which is about the height that our satellites go, 294 miles above the Earth, a powerful enough bomb, which a hydrogen bomb is, that would be detonated over the central United States at a height of 294 miles, would wipe out virtually every electronic device except those in the southernmost tip of Florida and the states of Maine, Vermont, and part of Massachusetts. It would also include about half of Canada and about two-thirds of Mexico. So the important thing to understand here and why our State Department is monitoring this so closely, this hydrogen bomb exploded at 294 miles. If you did a regular nuke up there, you'd never have the effects of the EMP. With the hydrogen bomb, since it's 10 to 40 times more powerful, this thing could literally knock the United States back into the Stone Age overnight. The other thing to understand, we do have a missile defense system, but there's no way, shape, or how that missile defense system can operate 294 miles above the Earth. It is intended for intercontinental ballistic missiles that fly maybe 10 to 20 to 30 miles above the Earth. We have no way that I know of, and I haven't heard a Defense Department specialist say we do, we have no ability, if they launched a hydrogen bomb that was set to explode 294 miles above our atmosphere, we have no way to counter it. So this is a real threat from a madman who would love nothing more than to see the United States obliterated.
So we do have a defense system, but not specifically for what could happen high above,
right,
294 miles above where we are. But what about when they, so let's just say they, you know, launched one, moments after that, while it's going up to that that range, is there any way to shoot it down once, like soon after it's launched?
There are, Dave, and the best missile defense systems we have are only 50% accurate. They can shoot down about one of two missiles on average, and this is tests the U.S. Department has been doing. But basically, it's hit or miss. It's a 50-50 chance you're going to be able to knock a missile once it gets out of Earth's atmosphere, up to a level of 200 to 294 miles, I'm not aware of anything we can do to stop it. So if we don't hit it the first time, and it happens to be a hydrogen bomb set to go off that high above the United States, it's game, set, and match.
What about our allies? What about Israel? What about anyone that could possibly also be detecting this? Could they somehow try to stop it or shoot it down?
Well, the research I've done, and it's not exhaustive, so understand I'm not a nuclear defense expert, but the research I've done in looking at organizations like Jane's Defense, which is one of the most well-known purveyors of information on this, no, it doesn't sound like there's anything, any way with any sort of certainty whatsoever once that ICBM leaves the Earth's atmosphere and gets up there 20 to 30 miles above. It doesn't sound like there's anything that anyone's aware of. Now, I know our government's been working with laser technology, and we don't know how far they are with that, but it sounds like once it gets out of the atmosphere, the odds on stopping it are slim to none.
So what other effects might there be? This is, you know, just the electrical, you know, power. Any effect physically on us or our surroundings?
No, actually, it would not destroy buildings. It would not injure people. We might get some residual radiation from it. But the thing it does, it knocks out anything that runs on power, battery-operated, cell phones, refrigerators, automobiles, and trucks. And when you look at the going back to the mid-90s when these first became a reality, our Defense Department estimated, Dave, that if an EMP was exploded over the U.S. that knocked out our power grid, the casualty rate in the first 6 months would be 90% of Americans. Think about it. No transportation, no food, no way to communicate. This would be a major devastation to the U.S. Now, from what I understand, our nuclear weapons are somewhat protected against an EMP, so we could retaliate. But you'd really have a nation brought to its knees incredibly with one explosion. And when we look to nations like China and Russia to intervene, find it somewhat laughable. And so what are we doing with China? And I do want to say this. I don't know what President Trump can do. The only option he has, and it's not a good option, is to try to preemptively take out their nuclear and hydrogen weapons. But there's no guarantee we can get all of them. Mm-hmm. And even if we got them, this madman would rain down fire on South Korea and Japan, and hundreds of thousands could die.
Well, why would, if we tried to do something like that, why would he take it out on South Korea and Japan?
Because they're our allies, and we have defense treaties with them, and we have troops in South Korea and Japan. So there is no really good exit strategy here. But this thing, if it were to come to play, you know, can you believe Kim Jong-un or not? What Vladimir Putin said yesterday was, look, the guy just wants some respect. Well, you know what? This isn't the way to get respect. He's scared to death that if he disarms his nukes, the U.S. will go in there and take him over. So he looks at these as his one line of defense. But trying to get China to help, and I want to talk about that for a minute. We tend to look at things through American lenses all the time. What's the big thing in the United States? Jobs, economy, money, right? Yeah. So we think that pressuring China through economic sanctions or pressuring North Korea through economic sanctions is going to work. They don't look at the world the same way we do. Marxists look at the United States of America as the last country they need to topple. And when they can get rid of us, the Marxist doctrine and the Marxist theology, if you will, can spread worldwide. So I think it's probably useless to look to countries that hate us, like China and Russia, and thinking that we can apply economic pressure to them to get North Korea in line. And of course, the other point, Dave, is you're dealing with a certifiable lunatic here. This man, Kim Jong-un, assassinated his own father, assassinated his own brother. The guy's nuts. Mm. And so we don't know what he's going to do. So this is a major threat to our nation. And you hear the government talking about it openly. And they don't normally talk about these kind of things openly unless they're a little worried themselves.
I'm just wondering, you know, it's hypothetical. You just wonder if you look at just our presidents, Bush and Obama, before Trump, BT, what would they do? Well, you know, and this is just speculation. What would President Bush have done in the situation? What would President Obama have done? Well, of course, he'd want to negotiate with Kim Jong-un. But it's just interesting. It's up to those that are handling our government right now and making those decisions, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I think it's a no-win, basically because of how the media and the left in Hollywood has already framed Donald Trump and his administration. Whether you agree with his policies or not, the media has done they haven't done their job where journalism is concerned, but where the left is concerned and the attack on Republicans and conservatives, they've done their job in that area. So it is a no-win for him, and I feel bad, but we've got to just decide individually for our families, what do we do? What can we do in this, just other than prayer? Sharing the gospel. Boy, does this raise the stakes.
It does. And Dave, you said something very profound. We started this. It's perfectly fine to look at what-if scenarios. Mm-hmm. And I think on the one hand, we as Christians should not stick our head in the sand and think with hubris that this could never happen to the United States of America. There are nations that hate us, yep, particularly these Marxist dictatorships. On the other hand, we shouldn't go off the deep end and start running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Are there things we can do to prepare for something like this? Yeah, I think we can store some food, some water, things like this. But you can't just go full-blown crazy on this thing either and start running around in fear, because as believers, that's not the spirit we've been given by from the Lord.
Water is one of the most important things that you need, one of the most important resources. And I learned we have, where we're at, there is actually a well. And so we get it, and it tastes surprisingly fine, the water does. It gets pumped from the well. But without electricity, the pump won't work. So I was thinking, hey, if the power goes out, we'll still have water. But no, that's not the case.
No, pumps won't. Anything,
because you need electricity to pump the water.
Anything that runs on electricity or battery powered. So even, you know, your battery operated cars, folks, you're talking about electricity here, and it's going to fry every automobile. Kind of looks like the scene out of the, you look at the Left Behind movies when all the cars, when the people are taken away and cars are sitting in the middle of the road not running and stuff. But it's a real threat. You know, going back to 2015, North Korea boasted it could destroy all electronic devices in South Korea and Japan by detonating a 100-kiloton bomb 100 kilometers over Seoul. And they said if we lower the altitude to 60 to 70 kilometers, we can make the EMP affect only the southern part of the Korean Peninsula. So they could wipe out South Korea today effectively too. They could take out South Korea and Japan, but that would also affect them. They're not going to do anything to hurt their own regime. And their biggest enemy in their eyes is the United States of America. Yeah. Now, another thing, let's tie this in. And again, the cowardice of our presidents, particularly Barack Obama over the last 4 years, the nuclear deal he signed with Iran. Oh. It has been known for years that Iran is getting nuclear secrets from North Korea. And so you got to believe with Iran, they continue to test long-range missiles, which they're not supposed to do, because they signed this agreement where we gave them, what, $20 billion, and we just keep turning a blind eye to it. So you've got nations out there right now, Islamic fundamentalist terrorists and people like this Kim Jong-un in North Korea. They would love nothing more than to see the United States literally obliterated. And I don't think we're going to find any sympathy with people, with the governments in China and Russia.
Refresh my memory, Mike. Why did the left and progressives and a lot of Democrats back Obama's deal with Iran? Why did they support it?
The left's mentality, if you think of it, Dave, is that it's all based, life should be based on fairness. And it's not fair that the United States is a wealthy nation. It's not fair that we're a military power. Remember even Al Gore and some of the radical environmental people, and even Barack Obama said that the problem with ISIS is global warming. You know, unfortunately, because of global warming, they can't grow their wealth. They can't do this. They can't do that. So the left looks at, let's make life fair. Sadly.
Well, who defines fair?
There you go. God. Let's go to our phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Stand Up for the Truth. Who is this, please?
Hey, this is Chris from Denmark. Getting back to your EMP that could shut us down electrically. It's not just drinking water. It's also refrigeration. I did relief work after Katrina, and you didn't have wells. You didn't have refrigeration. So you didn't have food. You didn't have drinking water. And along with water, then comes the sanitation. You know, you can't flush if you don't have water to refill your toilets and stuff. So it becomes a health hazard. It becomes a health issue. And then your electricity is out. Your power lines get knocked down. Well, if EMP could do the same thing, if we try and be proactive tying this into North Korea, you look at a satellite map of them at night, the country is completely dark. It's like a country in the 1950s where nothing is run by a computer and they have nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. So could we even hurt them by using could we use the same technique against them? No, I don't think it would even affect them. So, I mean, it's like they got it all figured out. But in the big picture, you know, we can get worked up or say, you know what, God's in control.
Amen.
And that's the peace in the calm of the storm. The peace in the eye of the hurricane, if you will. God's still in control.
Amen to that, so, Chris. Thank you so much. That's the right attitude we need to take. It's a great point, though. I mean, North Korea is, from a technology point outside of weapons, you know, they're an ancient country. I mean, you look at it. You ever seen these maps at night of South Korea and North Korea?
Yeah.
There's like no lights on in North Korea. Yeah. Their people are starving. They have no electricity. They have no real sanitation. But Chris is right. When you look at the devastation of Hurricane Harvey, as bad as it is, an EMP, think of Hurricane Harvey around the nation. I mean, literally, no power, no sanitation, no clean water, no way to get food, no way to even grow food really quickly to feed a nation. So it's really it's a big deal, I think. And I think to stick our head in the sand with American hubris and say, well, it could never happen to America, it could very easily happen to America.
Was there any residual effect from this test that North Korea did on Sunday? In other words, how do they know the power of this bomb, this nuke? How do they know? Did they just test a placebo? How does that work?
No, they actually explode a hydrogen bomb underground. And if you'll notice, there was a 6.7, I believe, level earthquake that was monitored by NASA and others in the Korean Peninsula. And now what they do is they measure the radiation that's escaping. And from everything I've seen by our government so far, their stance is we have no reason to believe North Korea's lying about this, that they now do have a hydrogen bomb. And again, the importance, understand the hydrogen bomb will allow the EMP to get up there 294 miles into the atmosphere. And if it explodes, it'll still have enough power to hit down and drain our power grid. Where a regular nuclear weapon up that far, you're going to get maybe spotty interference with the electric grid.
So they tested it underground,
yep.
And we know it's documented that there
so
was an earthquake.
Based on the size of the earthquake, and then they're now testing to see how much radiation has escaped out from underground. And that's what they can tell.
This is in North Korea they tested
yes.
this.
Yeah.
What if the radiation affects their own people?
He doesn't care. He just doesn't care about his people. You can't lead people the way he does with an iron fist, killing his own people, slaughtering people who dare mention Jesus Christ, starving his own people. He doesn't care. The man is certifiably nuts.
When you said he thinks he's God, has he said something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, in North Korea, the premier, the president, is considered the God that people need to worship.
Oh, boy.
So there's a lot of implications here. We've gotten into this mess again because we have presidents, just like we do with the economy, just like we do with immigration. We just keep kicking it down the can, kicking the can down the road because we don't want to make a decision that's going to bring any pain to the nation. We don't want to straighten out the immigration issue. We don't want to straighten out the debt issue. We don't want to straighten out the education issue because, heaven forbid, some voter might get mad at us and we might not get reelected and we might lose our power base. Mm. So it is a very interesting thing to keep our eyes on. We do not look at it with a spirit of fear, but we do look at it realistically. And when we come back, how do we respond as Christians?
Missed a recent show? Catch up anytime on our free app, q90fm.com/app. Click on podcasts. Stand up for the truth. We'll continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
We're talking about the real possibility of North Korea or another power detonating an electromagnetic pulse bomb over the U.S. and what the devastation would look like. And according to government figures, within 6 months of that happening, the fatality rate could be as high as 90% from death, through starvation, through lack of water, through lack of clean drinking water, whatever it might be. How do we talk to our children about this, Dave? And I try to think back, and obviously I wasn't here when Pearl Harbor happened, but I wonder what our parents told our children about that when Japan did their sneak attack. I was 8 years old when the Cuban Missile Crisis was up, and I do remember my parents talking to me about this and trying to calm me down because all you'd hear in the news was, Russia's got nukes in Cuba and they're going to launch them against the U.S. Recently, and most of us can remember 9/11, when we sat in horror and watched more than 3,000 of our fellow Americans murdered by Islamic terrorists. And I remember having to have conversations with my children about that. One of my children said, Daddy, is the world coming to an end? So, and now we've got this with North Korea, a real threat against our nation, against our way of life. And I do think it's important we talk to our young people rather than have them walking around here and only going to the media for news and thought and what to do, because this has got to be scary to young children, I would think. It's scary to me, and I'm a little older than young.
It's sad for those that don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
It is. I'm looking back at this article, 2012, 5 years ago, there was a gentleman, William Graham. He was a chairman who looked into this and warned about this as one of the threats that could hold our society at risk of what he called catastrophic consequences. And I guess there's a commission to assess the threat to the U.S. from an EMP attack. Mm-hmm. That's actually an official commission. But 5 years ago, they were looking into this and warning about the possibility. And, you know, hopefully we would hear more specifics from this commission and other government agencies that have more information than we do.
Well, and I'm sure trying to put my shoes my feet in the shoes of government officials, you want to educate the public, but you don't want to scare the public either.
Yeah,
I mean, if President Trump came out today and said they're going to hit us with an EMP any day, I mean, people would be panicking.
He might just tweet it.
Yeah, please don't tweet that, Mr. President. But you know, as Christians, let's just assume for a minute this does happen. It is a possibility. You know, probably less than a 50-50 chance easily, but it could happen. How do we respond? And Dave, you know, when tragedy hits us as Christians, it's an opportunity for us to show our true color, our true nature. Do we revert back to the sinful, selfish man who's in it only for me, or do we step up? And are we really those ambassadors for Christ? And so how will we treat our neighbors? How will we treat other people if our nation is brought to its knees through an EMP? And I think, again, it's easy for us as Christians to say, well, I do this and I do that and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, until something happens to you, you're not always sure how you would respond. I would hope we would respond in love, not only for other believers, but for those who are not believers. I hope we would be people who share whatever we have. And you talk about something that'll force you to trust God. Something like this would force you to trust God, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's a picture I wanted to ask about, Mike. It's over in this article at the Daily Mail that there's actually a rocket going up into the air. And I know you said they tested this nuke underground.
Mm-hmm.
But this says a picture released by the North Korean government late last week shows the last test launched by the country. It said the regime's latest nuclear weapons test raises fears of an EMP attack. But this one, I'll just swing the computer over so you can see it. Well, there we go. See, this one's shooting up into the air. Now, that's a different kind of test.
Well, understand there's two components to this.
Okay.
They have nuclear bombs, but they don't have a delivery system. So these tests on what are called intercontinental ballistic missiles, they're basically seeing how far they can get a rocket to fly accurately. So now that they have what's called intercontinental ballistic missiles, they can easily hit the United States. They can do that today. They have the capability. So you've got to develop the nuclear fusion necessary to create a bomb, but then you have to have a delivery system. And so what they're testing when you show those pictures are the delivery systems. Now, you know, here's another thing, and again, a reason we need to trust in God. When the Cold War ended in the late 1980s, it was discovered that there are something called nuclear suitcases, nuclear bombs in a suitcase, 10 of them missing from the old Soviet Union. We have no idea where those are. Did our CIA get a hold of them? Did someone else get a hold of them? We don't know.
Wow.
But I think during the Cold War, Dave, there was a policy called mutually assured destruction. Russia would not attack us with a nuke because they knew we would retaliate and destroy them. So unofficial policy of mutually assured destruction was kind of our safe buffer, because anyone who used a nuclear weapon, they knew the other party was going to retaliate.
Right.
When you have nutcases like these mullahs and Kim Jong-un who don't care. You know, Kim Jong-un considers himself a god who's going to live forever. What do we threaten him with?
Jeez.
You know, so, I mean, we have madmen. The Bible tells us that the condition of man will get worse and worse moving forward. And we're at a case here now. You know, many Bible scholars look at the Ezekiel 36 war and talks about another world war coming where one-third of the population is destroyed. So it's going to happen. We're going to have, you know, nuclear war. We're going to have world war before the Lord returns. But it could be today, tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now.
What a good reminder. And you know what? I think that's a good time. It's a good time to read some scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at this morning, but I want to share it. I don't want to be selfish and keep it to myself for our listeners. In Romans 13, it says, verse 10, it says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11 says, do this knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then it goes on, but that verse 11, do this knowing the time, it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. And that, my friends, is what we hang our hopes and our hat on. Salvation is nearer day by day Every day we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ, our hope. We know that's going to happen. Whatever else happens on this earth between now and then, we deal. We deal with it and do the best we can and pray for discernment and try to survive and live still as godly of lives as we can. But we have to remember that any day and every day brings us closer to the return of Christ.
Amen. And I think topics like this, this EMP potential or possibility, is a great door opener to talk to people who don't know the Lord.
Excellent point.
What do you think of this EMP stuff? And they say, it scares me. Well, you know, it scares me a little bit too, but I know that I have the assurance of eternal life with God because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And just kind of throw that out there a little bit and see what kind of response you get. People normally change over fear. And can we use this fear? And I'm not saying abuse it or fan the flames, but if people, your neighbors and friends and family members who do not have the assurance of salvation, look at this with fear, it's a great opportunity to let the Holy Spirit guide our words and what we say and how we respond to show them again that, well, certainly this concerns me, but I have the assurance of eternal life with God, and so can you. Would you like to know how? And then share the gospel with them.
And predictably, a lot of people will respond with, that's just sensationalism. That could never happen to America or
yeah.
in America, right?
Yeah.
That's the response of a lot of people. But there are those who are really looking at this and saying, yeah, it's possible. And then what if there's a God? What if the Bible is true? What if there is an eternity and we live in one side or the other, in heaven or hell? What if that's all true? What if we're getting closer to the end times? It's a good question to ask.
You know, I have this thing, Dave, we talk about all the time that a man's greatest strength is his greatest weakness. One of the things that built America into a world power and economic power was self-determination. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm going to make it happen. But we've developed an American hubris. We look at the Bible through American lens. We look at the whole world through American lens. We assume since the economy is important to us, we can use it to get China to leverage North Korea. So we've got to look beyond Americanism and here mm-hmm. and look to biblicalism.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity here. Whenever there's a threat, there's an opportunity to try to get people to think about their eternal souls, because when all of this stuff washes away, the only thing that lives on forever is God and the eternal souls of men, along with the new heaven and earth created by Jesus. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
A little flipping of our normal schedule here this week. Friday is normally when we address your questions and comments. Friday we'll have Elijah Abraham with us for the whole hour. So we're going to do our question, answer, and comment segment tomorrow after we visit with our good friend Julian Appling from Wisconsin Family Action to check what's going on in Madison and Washington, D.C. But, you know, Dave, we've gotten ourselves into quite a pickle as a nation because we don't think long-term anymore. Economically,
when did we think
socially, yes. I mean, the immigration issue, we've talked about that. There are simple solutions if we're willing to get out of our little box in Washington, D.C. and start thinking through these things. But we've kicked the can down the road with the economy. We've kicked the can down the road with North Korea and Iran.
Our debt,
immigration, everything. And now we've got a mess on our hands. We're $20 trillion in debt, and we seem to be defenseless against a rogue nation that we knew 30 years ago wanted to destroy us. So, Lord, come quickly, as they say. Maranatha, I won't argue with you, Lord, if your plan is to take us earlier rather than later. But you are God, we are not, and we will accept whatever you allow in our lives. Stay focused on Him. He is our only hope. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, standing up for the truth. Be bold, strong, and always unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.